This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Excited to have the Executive Vice President, General Manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, joining us. Another opening day. This one, we'll have to deal with weather being an issue or anything like that. It's great to see you. Great to see you for another opening day.
Opening days are all good, no matter what. Whether it's you'd rather have 80 degrees and a little bit of sun than not, but opening days are always fun.
You got the spring training tan.
I do. I actually got tan really fast this year. I don't know what
your
that
body's
about,
adjusting
but,
to.
Yeah,
it.
I guess, but I held it, so that's good. It'll disappear here in a month.
John Sherman was very complimentary of your roster construction, specifically yesterday. He talked about it on our show here just a few minutes ago. How do you feel about how you guys approach this offseason? Last year, you changed 80% of the roster from the year before. This year, it was just a handful of things that you did to the roster. How do you feel about now that you're maybe getting close to first pitch, how do you feel about the way you guys kind of went about it this offseason?
Really good. Every offseason brings something different. Going from 23 to 24, our results told us we need to make some change. This year was different. This year was more specific. The main thing was the leadoff hitter, and we were able to get Jonathan India. Then it was, try to, make sure, and actually Michael Wacha helped us out because he signed early, but make sure our starting pitching still has depth. We tried, to add another bat to the lineup, didn't quite, get it done. But then we also were able to address the bullpen, which, as we've witnessed here, and I think we were sort of a trendsetter, if you have a lockdown bullpen in the last, the seventh through the ninth, you got a pretty good chance to win. So that was the approach we took. And, we got guys in this team that I think will take steps forward, and we're in a pretty good spot.
How close do those conversations go with the bat? I won't make you name names. I'm not even sure if you're allowed to, technically.
Yeah.
Via that, we know some of the names that were out there that maybe you guys were interested in. Those conversations get pretty deep, or did you have to kind of alter quick? How did those go?
They were deep. At one point, I thought we were going to land somebody that would have been really good for our lineup. It didn't work out, but we were involved, and that's a credit to John and the way he runs this club. He sees a window of opportunity right now where we can compete in the Central, and ultimately that's what we're trying to do is win the Central every year. But he sees a window of opportunity with the guys that we have, the stability we have, that this is a time to move forward. So he gave us the okay to get involved with some of the free agent talks and, some of the trade talks as well that would have helped us. But, that's in the past now. We can't do anything about that, but, take the guys that we have and let's make this the best team we can.
in the organization, I mean, you can sense it from fans as well. We've talked about all morning long, like real expectation, not just to have some hope and make the playoffs. You guys obviously did that last year, but the bar, you guys have raised the bar, right? And for this fan base too, and thinking about winning this division, how has that changed maybe even your feel walking into the building today?
Yeah, the team is more stable right now than it was last year. Last year, I would categorize it as optimism. You know, there was optimism, a lot of new faces. Bobby going into his third year. Salvi always brings excitement. This year, there's a confidence that not only do we believe we've done it or can do it, but we've done it. You know, we've gotten to the playoffs. Though I'll tell you, though, we came up short. You know, once we reached a certain point of the season, it was about making the playoffs. But once you get into the playoffs, it was about going deep into the playoffs and winning a World Series. So nobody was satisfied with the year last year, which I think is a credit to Q with the way he runs the club. You use the word expectations. There are expectations, but we have to sort of temper that with, you know, we don't have to go from, you know, we don't have to win 30 more games this year.
Right.
Seven would be nice.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that next mark for us might be 90, 92 wins. But for those things to happen, you know, things got to go right this year. You got to stay healthy. Last year, we were extremely healthy. And, you know, we have to expect that we're going to have bumps in the road this year. And who's going to get a chance to step up and do something? A lot like our bullpen did last August and September. They're outstanding. You know, and guys got opportunities. So when you have guys in the minor leagues that get an opportunity, that's a great thing. But, you know, putting the ball in play with runners in scoring position, we're really good at that. We have to maintain that. You know, throwing strikes with our pitching staff. I think our bullpen's a lot different. You know, it's deeper. It's more power. The four guys from Zerpa to Harvey to Irsay to the Estevez, those four guys are very different than the four we had last year. So there are things that are moving us in the right direction, but the reality is we got to play 162 games and we got to weather the storms that are going to come. It's not going to be all, you know, sunshine and rainbows for us. You know, it's a long year and it's a tough year.
You mentioned injuries and avoiding those. Looks like you guys avoided maybe a scare right out of the gate. Vinny's in the lineup today. Yep. He's going to DH, but just where is your feeling on him right now?
Good. You know, watching him work out yesterday, I thought he was going to walk in the office at the end and say, I want to play first base. We had a pretty good idea. If you just look at Vinny's track record, I mean, he beat all odds last year with the broken hand and getting back for the playoffs. He was the only one to believe that. You know, he told us, I'll be ready for the playoffs. And he
and
was.
You're like, sure, Vinny.
Yeah. In my mind was, you know, if we can get deep into the playoffs, maybe get into the, you know, the league championship series, then we'd have an opportunity to get him back in the lineup. But, you know, knowing his history, knowing how tough he is, knowing that he was going to do the right thing over these really 4 days he had, because he had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to get ready for today, I expected him to be in the lineup. But watching him move around yesterday, I thought he's going to want to play first base, which we have to sort of – that's where we got to step in and say, hey, this isn't smart for you. This is about the long haul. We like to say it's about the war, not the battle. Today's a battle. The season's a war. You know, we got to get through the entire season, and having Vinny on the field's really important.
I thought, you know, it stinks for, like, the injury stuff, because, like, initially you're fearful, because last year Vinny was healthy.
Yeah.
He was healthy the whole year. He was playing every day. He was consistently there. And then a freak injury, you know, like, that always feels like it must be, like, mentally kind of tough, where you're like, you didn't do anything wrong. It's not that you didn't get your body prepared. It wasn't things like that. You know, like, to have that kind of – because, like, the shoulder was the thing before.
Yeah.
But once he had that surgically fixed, he hasn't had a problem with that anymore, right?
No, that's well behind him. You know, and that was something, a discussion I had with Vinny, because Vinny's pretty hard on himself. You know, as fun-loving as he can be and outgoing, he's pretty hard on himself. And he was mad that he got hurt. And it's like, hey, Vinny, that is a freak injury. That's not something we worry about. Now, this soft tissue injury with our medical staff, we'll figure out a way to get him through. It's actually similar to Gurriel. When we got Gurriel last year, he didn't have his hamstring was not 100%. But by the time we got to the end of September, our medical staff did a great job in getting him through early September, late September, and then he was healthy in the playoffs. That was sort of how we categorized this one, and we just got to be smart about how we use him.
What about how the spring training went from the let's tinker in the outfield perspective? You guys were finding out if Massey could play left, finding out if India could play left, finding out if Mikel could play center. We know today it'll be Massey at second, India at third. I'm assuming that's going to be most of the time for you. Will we see any of those guys in the outfield, Mikel Garcia, India, or Massey?
Yeah, you will. You know, and the thing that we don't think about a lot that I would, you know, encourage our fans to think about is, you know, because Q, we pinch hit. You know, so now when you pinch hit, you know, positionally you got to line up. So you might see more of one guy playing two positions than we've seen in the past. So you might see Michael start second, go to left. You might see Indian start third and go to left. You still may see one of them start a game and left. You may see Michael come into a game. Today he's not starting, which was a tough one for us because we believe in Michael. But it speaks to the depth of our lineup to not have him in there. But it's very likely he's coming in at some point today. He's going to play. So you're going to see him, whether it's a third base, second base, center field. He's going to move around. The thing that we have going for us is all three of those guys have said over and over again, whatever we need to do for the team. And that's really, really good to hear. And that, I think that speaks to the maturity of the team. It's not about me. It's not about establishing myself. It's about the team. And that's a big difference right now than what we were dealing with 2 years ago.
We're talking to J.J. Boccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. I think a few weeks back we had you on the show. We talked about MJ Melendez and how he was very receptive to changing the stance and changing the swing. And a lot of fans are looking at him as maybe a huge swing guy for you guys. If he gets to a level that people have hoped in, I'm sure you guys have hoped he gets to, how big of a season is this for him, for your entire team's success?
Well, I think right now we have a solid offense. You know, we're still going to have to create runs and move runners and do all those things. If MJ's doing what we believe he's capable, if Michael does what he's capable of doing, if Izzy's able to do things that we believe he can do, you know, you put those guys into the mix. And Hunter Renfroe, I mean, he's hit 25 home runs, I think, five times in his career. We don't need him to hit 25, but if he can hit 20 for us, that may be the difference between us having a solid offense and a really good offense. And really what we're thinking about is trying to take pressure off of Bobby, Vinny, and Sal to do everything. You know, that's not a healthy way to go. That's not sustainable in our opinion. Adding Jonathan certainly helps that, and I think Michael Massey really evolved into a professional hitter last year. So you'll see him at the five hole probably pretty frequently here to start the season. But if those other guys do what they're certainly capable of doing, we may have a really good offense.
I think Renfro's been around the league long enough. I don't think there's, like, questions about that. But, like, MJ, I think Ryan Lefevre actually pointed out is a really good point where with him or some of the other guys in the lineup, can they learn things from Vinny? Not like you're the same hitter, but, like, just get a run home. Figure out how to score and produce runs is what we're talking about. Vinny's great at producing a run for you.
Yeah.
Can guys like MJ who – I think his home runs came a lot of solo shots, or his hits didn't. He had 44 RBI, even though he had maybe 500 at bats. Like, for him, is that the growth you would take even more than anything else? Just being more of a producer.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, there's a lot of ways to be a productive major league hitter. You know, with guys in scoring position, we can't miss those opportunities. So, but what is not measurable, and it's more instinctive. You know, it's more in our behavioral science department asking them questions. When you start doing little things like that, your confidence grows because your teammates believe in you. And when your confidence grows, it may free up to really take off. It's been out there. I think it's a good comparison. What Mike Moustakas went through in 2013 and 14, very similar things. And all of a sudden, Moose put the team ahead of himself, and he took off. The team took off, but he took off, and he hit eighth for those teams.
He started bunting down the third baseline.
Exactly.
It was like a whole thing. Yeah.
And they were things that we couldn't get him to do in the minor leagues because it was all about driving the ball somewhere. And all of a sudden he started doing the little things, and then he did drive a ball, you know, and hit some big – I think he had five home runs in the playoffs in 14.
Yeah.
That was the year he was sent down, you know. So there are moments, things that can happen in a game that – give a guy confidence to become the hitter that they are certainly able to become. And MJ's one of those guys. Again, Michael's one of those guys.
What about this division? I think we always ask you here on opening day. You guys have your internal projections, obviously. It sure looks like this is going to be three teams made it last year to the postseason. Looks like another really close division.
Yeah.
You guys don't seem like there's much separation.
No, we don't. It's going to be a dogfight. There's good teams in our division. Obviously the four and the White Sox are going to be better. You know, they are going to be better. But the other four, you know, they have different strengths. But we're going to be competing with all four of those teams. I think Minnesota's the team that, you know, went through some injuries last year. If they stay healthy, they've got a really good team on paper. Cleveland's always been tough. And Detroit, you know, the run they went through, I loved watching them play last year. Not necessarily against us, but they took it to us. They came in here and swept us.
They did that to the league for the last couple of months.
They did. And that momentum's going to carry, too. And they're a good ball club. So it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, we feel like we're built well. We're built for the long haul. And we have some reinforcements in AAA. AAA. We like our depth. So we're in a good spot, but now we just got to take it day by day.
You're wearing the World Series ring, so I'll ask about the confidence level and the difference, like kind of like back to the beginning of the conversation, the optimism. How big of a difference does it make for some of the guys, do you think, attitude-wise, or what do you see different in the now that they know they can win department? We saw a huge shift from 14 to 15 in the clubhouse. I think even just from covering it from a media end. Are you seeing that in this team?
Without question. Our spring training was flawless. Like, there was not a bump in the road. And I want to knock on wood here. I hope this is wood, but I want to knock on wood.
It might be plastic.
We'll go with wood. Yeah.
But there was no drama. There's just a professionalism about our clubhouse that is really enjoyable to sit back and just watch. You know, it's a testament to our player development department. It's a testament to our scouts. We got the right guys in the clubhouse. And we just need to keep encouraging them, stay out of the way, let them play the game. But there is a confidence that they have. They're hungry. You know, they're hungry to go out and get back and do better than we did last year.
Small question, I guess, outside of this. But when you see the deals for, like, the contract numbers that Vlad Guerrero's asking or what Soto got, are you guys really extra thankful you got Bobby Witt Jr. done?
Well, regardless of that, we're thankful.
Yeah. You know what? No matter the money, you're happy Bobby Witt Jr.'s here, sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're really grateful that Bobby loves Kansas City. You know, his family's in Texas. It's easy for them to get here. He's a superstar. And we know we have him through the 2030 season and hopefully years beyond that. So it is a really comfortable feeling, and, you know, Bobby's going to make money. He's going to continue to make money. But the beautiful thing about Bobby, that's not what he's about. You know, he's about playing baseball, and that's what's so enjoyable about watching him play.
J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, Executive Vice President. We'll let you get back inside here. We appreciate you coming out and joining us, as always, on the show.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Let's have a good season.